In the first reading today, we hear Wisdom speaking, and he says, "Before all ages, in the beginning, God created me." Now, when you think about how God operates, we have to remember that there is no time. God knows absolutely everything in one thought. So he's not like us, where we can say, "Well, you know, last night I was thinking about some things and I had this insight." God doesn't have insights. God knows everything, and he knows it perfectly, and he knows it all in one thought. So we can look at the way that this operates and say, "Well, okay, there is a hierarchy, I suppose we could call it." That is, we look at the way that this is presented. In the beginning, before anything else existed, God had determined everything. So the top thing, I guess we could say, is that his son, who is created wisdom, would become one of us. And we could say the very second thing is, of course, our Blessed Lady, the most perfect of all the creatures that he was going to make. And while we can look at it that way, we also have to recognize then that in that, I guess there isn't even a first instant, but we don't have any other way that we can suggest it. So in that one thought of God, that exact same thought that he determined that his son would become one of us, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would die on the cross. In that exact same thought, he thought of you. You were not an afterthought. God was not sitting around a couple of however many years ago saying, "Yeah, I guess I can create another one. Watch what we'll do with this one. We'll make this one a real mess." No, he wasn't saying anything like that. In the exact same thought of his son and of his blessed mother was you. And when we heard just a few minutes ago in the last gospel about those who were born not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of a man, but by the will of God, that again is who you are. Certainly our parents had a part in all of that, and for whatever their will was, that's fine. But the reality is that before God even began creating, he had determined that you were going to be created. And of all humanity, he decided that you were going to be his son or daughter. Not just made in his image and likeness, as he has made every single person on the face of this earth, but he was going to raise you up. He was going to give you a share in his divine life. He was going to give you the opportunity not only to be united with his son in this life, to know him, but to be united with him for all eternity. He also knows, of course, in that same thought, whether or not you're going to cooperate. He knows whether you're going to go to heaven or not. He knows whether you're going to be faithful to his son or not. But the reality is that he chose you for this. And so now the question has to do with our response. Certainly we can look at what this woman in the gospel said and proclaiming Our Lady blessed because of her motherhood. And indeed she is. And yet at the same time, when Jesus says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it," what's important about that is that we can look at our own lives and we can see all the blessings that God has given us, extraordinary things that he has done, And then ask ourselves, what's been my response? In other words, we look at our Blessed Lady, and obviously God did the most extraordinary things in her. But just like Adam and Eve, and just like the rest of us, she could have, theoretically speaking, she didn't, thanks be to God, but she could have given birth to Jesus and then turned her back. She could have done something stupid. The grace of God didn't allow that to happen, but in theory, I suppose, one could say it might. In other words, she is more blessed in the fact that she remained faithful, that she heard the word of God and she kept it. Not for a few minutes, not for a few years, for her entire life. God has done remarkable things in you and me. And then we turn around and we spit in his face and we sin. We say, "Ah, thanks, that was nice, but now I'm going to go over here and be selfish." And so all those blessings, and have we heard the word of God and kept it? So we want to be able to look at this and say, number one, I want to be more faithful to God than what I am. Again, you're here today. Obviously, there's a fidelity that's there. But I suspect every one of us can look at it and say, I could be even more faithful because I keep doing things every day that offend God. I give him lip service, but sometimes my heart is far from him. I say that I love him and I want to serve him, and then I turn my back on him. So we can all be more faithful. But we also have to pray for that grace of final perseverance so that we will be faithful to the end. Because that's exactly what our Lord told us, is that we need to be faithful to the end. Blessed are they who remain faithful to the end. To be faithful now is a great gift, and praise God for that grace. But look at the number of people that you know, I suspect, who have walked away. They were so faithful for a time, and now they've turned their back, they've walked away. And we've all got our excuses. Oh, it was the priest scandal back to, 25 years ago, or oh, it was the COVID thing, or oh, it's, whatever. I'm too busy. There are some really good cartoons on Sunday morning, and I just need to be watching those. I mean, whatever our excuse, we've got it, and we justify ourselves. There is no excuse for turning our back on God. And that's what we have to look at. There are going to be things coming that are going to be way more difficult than anything that has caused any of these people to walk away from the Lord. How are we going to remain faithful? Except through prayer. Except through that determination that no matter what, I will be faithful to the Lord. And we know we can't do it by ourselves. So we need his grace. So we have to be rooted in prayer and dependent on him. And we have to look back and look at the time of the prophet Elijah when he thought and even said, I alone am left. And God said, no, there are 7,000 who have not bent their knee to Baal. But Elijah was determined, even if he was the only one left that was going to be faithful to God, he was going to continue to be faithful to God. It literally felt to him like he was alone. He was the only one. And out of an entire country, there were 7,000 that were faithful. That's not many. If we looked at it and said, in the Twin Cities, if 7,000 people remained faithful to God, and you were one of them, how are you going to know who the other 7,000 are? They're hither and yon, they're spread all over, someone here, someone there. Everyone's going to feel like they're alone. So we have to recognize that there's a possibility that God is going to ask us, test us, to see if we will remain faithful in the most difficult of circumstances. We have to look at who we are, not what we've done with our lives, who God made us to be. In that one thought of God, in the beginning, before anything was created, God had you in his mind. He has showered you with immense graces, blessed you in so many ways. Now we need to look at ourselves and ask, what has been my response? How faithful have I been? And most of us are probably going to have to answer, not very well. Then we need to make that determination. From this day forward, I want to be more faithful. And that's just a generic statement, which means pretty much nothing. So how are we going to be more faithful? What practical things are we going to be doing to try to be more faithful to the Lord? Start by looking at your prayer life and ask, does that need to be augmented? Is that really the priority in my life? Do I let prayer go because this came up or that came up? Yeah, if there's an emergency, that's one thing. But when it's all these other things, the phone rang, so I needed to answer it. Well, there was a news alert. I had to look at my phone. I had to check my email. I had to do I didn't have to pray because I had to check my email. Is prayer really the priority? Is God the priority? Look at the areas that you confess when you go to confession. How can we start working on those things and overcome the sins? Tomorrow's Septuagesima Sunday. Church is asking us to really start looking at what you're going to do for Lent. Look at your sins, look at your fidelity or infidelity to God, and ask what needs to be adjusted. Those are the kinds of things that would be excellent for Lent. Because God has, created you. He had you in mind from that first instant. In the same thought that Jesus and Mary are there in his mind, so are you. That's what he's looking for. How are we going to be faithful like Jesus and Mary? Again, obviously we can't be perfectly faithful as they were, but how can we be more faithful? How can we respond? What is the gratitude in our hearts? That's something all of us can look at. Be able to recognize the love that God has for us. And now we want to respond by loving him in return.